And I got to load this thing up.
Don't know how long this will be, but we are going to record this for...
Recording you started.
Recording purposes. Okay, I will call to order the Board of Supervisors serving as Drainage District Trustees on this January 11th, 2012. The purpose of this meeting is a progress report by Foxy Engineering on open ditch cleanout and repairs to Drainage District Milford number 32. Welcome, Scott. Members present, we have Scott Renault, Scott Wall, our drainage clerk, Darren Moon, county engineer, and the three supervisors, two Clinton and Sanders. So, take it away.
All right, guys. Just kind of wanted to get you updated here. The contractor was supposed to be, as you know, finished by December 15th, and he's been making good progress. We haven't been concerned about that. We did add some work to his thing, but I think by the end of this month he's going to be done, and I just kind of wanted to give you a little progress update in case you guys are getting questions, and also kind of give you a little, kind of a projection where we think we're at on costs. This is a unit price contract, so as prices or quantities and things change, we do change the contract amount a little bit, and I kind of want to go through where we're at kind of right now and go from there, and then there's some reasons why it has gone up a little bit, but there's some reasons why, and I want to kind of show you through those things. We're just going to do some before and after pictures, you know. Okay. These are from our observer who checks on the site usually about.
Okay.
So you can kind of see the befores and after. This is the dry channel that's from the head wall on up, and this is what it looked like before we did there, and now this is kind of in progress. And what did happen on this is we did get most all this dirt hauled off for free. Somebody came and got it, which kind of helps things. There's still a fairly good berm in there, but I think by the time spring comes around, most all of that will be gone, which is good because we don't really have any good place to put it. So, and there's a little bit of a berm they started building there, and it was, 10 feet high and 40 feet at the bottom and 20 feet at the top, so it was a big hunk of dirt. So we're getting rid of all of that, which is good because the next time you ever have to clean it out, then you don't have to work around all that stuff or get rid of it. So, this is the head wall that's just downstream from this dry channel. And as you can see, we had a pretty good lake there before, and all the trees that are up there, those are all gone. That's all been removed and taken care of, and this is what the thing looks like now. So we're back to the original grade on that. The rock and stuff was already there, I think, for the most part. And so all the, you know, we lowered the water level about, let's see here, what is the size of that? That pipe that's sticking up there, I think, is a 42. And I think, so we lowered it about 5 feet. Okay. These are before and after shots of what we've done. And then you can kind of see that things are getting smoothed out, cleaned up. This is 210th. Where we met that day, yeah. Paul, exactly right. This bridge where we met. And this is what it looked like pretty much the day that we did it. And what we did do here is we added 3,000 foot of cleaning downstream because we were holding an awful lot of water back here. As you recall, when we originally went through and did this ditch, is we could never get good silt depths and whatnot because there's so much water in the ditch, and so we kind of made an assumption that really that this bridge had been the restriction and held most of the silt up there. So most of the silt that we were taking out, we were taking 3-4 foot of silt out of this whole thing for the most part all the way up. But when we got done, we had an awful lot of water there, and that's why we called the board in and sent that in to clean another 3,000 feet, and that's what it looks like after. So we have really cut down the amount of water in there. We knocked that down a couple feet. And this is where the beavers were at as well. So we got that kind of looking normal as what the ditch should look like with 3 or 4 foot of water in the bottom. Another before. And then you can actually see a little bit of a beaver dam back there. And there it's cleaned out. We've been putting rock in on places where the water comes in on the side of the and washes off the fields. And then we've been putting it in on the culverts that we've been repairing and where the tile outlets and those kind of things. So there's been rock put in some of those areas. And then before and then after. The contractor's doing a really nice job. This is the gas line Now, we didn't do anything in the gas line area. The gas line company was in there doing their own work. But downstream of that, then we have done the clean out there as well. Is the gas line guys done? Did they tell you?
They didn't do anything yet.
They haven't done anything yet. Yeah. Okay. Another before and after. Here's a bridge that had collapsed into the thing. We've cleaned all that out and, again, taken that out. We still have a little bit of slight meander in a few spots, but for the most part, it's been cleaned out. Getting the banks cut back and stabilized. And
most of the water that we see there, is that a result from field tile draining into it?
Yeah, we still, this ditch always has water in it.
Always has water in it.
Almost always has water in it. I'm not saying it wouldn't go dry, but it's flowing water almost all the time. A little bit of residual from the tiles and whatnot. So, anyway, what I'm going to give you now is
our current update. And again, the quantities we're still dealing with, contracting out certain things. Oops. You guys share?
Yeah, sure.
Darren and I'll share. We added on the bottom there, you can see we added 3,000 foot of additional cleaning for about 30,000, and we're trying to reduce some of the other costs to take care of that, primarily the rock and some other things. What's highlighted in yellow there is that's our best guess and projection right now for seeding. I actually think some of that's going to go down a little bit because the contractor has really confined the area that is disturbed a lot. And so I think we don't know what that is going to be exactly yet. But when we added that additional 3,000 foot of clinging, it did create some more disturbed area that has to be seeded. The rock quantities are going down, though, again, we're just using what we need to on that. And what we did to kind of reduce the rock is on the curves and bends. After we cleaned it out, it looked so good that I didn't feel like we needed to put rock in some of those areas. Unless it was a place where the water was shooting into a bank or something, we eliminated a lot of that. Let's see. As you just kind of go down, you can see the percentages on the side there. The one item that we're struggling with the contractor right now is item number 6, which is remove and reinstall existing fence. He had a pretty big number on that. That was $40 a foot, but it was only 250 feet. Well, we got into an area down below, and there was a lot of fence that was in there that had to be removed. And the owner doesn't want to put it back, so there's going to be a negotiation on price. Now, the contractor, because he thinks he's losing money on this deal, wants $40 a foot, and they're saying, well, you don't have to put the fence back in.
Right.
You know, that's way high for that kind of quantity. Now, you do have to understand that the fence is just, you know, it's wound into the dead wood, and they can't cut the trees down with a chainsaw because there's fence posts in the trees, and you know, that's why it's a higher price than normal. But I want to let you know we are negotiating a reduced price on that to get that number down and deal with that. The landowner had about 2,000 foot of fence. There was about 800 that needed to come out to do our project. The other 1,200 really didn't need to come out, but they took that out as well. So there's some negotiation there that needs to happen. So that's a big item that we have to deal with in the contract.
Have the landowners in these areas been out to observe some of the work? Great.
We have met with every landowner.
Super.
As we've gone along and kind of given them an update, and we'll do that again on the way out.
Great.
Great. I mean, we've been able to find the landowner or their designee.
Right.
We've met with every single one of them. Really, from our standpoint, we haven't heard anything negative from anybody. I think everybody seems pretty happy. I don't know if the board's hearing anything different, but we certainly on the job. You can tell that they're doing work. I mean, it's not like they go through and, you know, you go, well, what did they do? You know, the water levels are dropping and the trees are gone and it's pretty much cleaned up. So this is kind of a projection. Right now we're about 35,000 over it's a negative, but what it means is you're over, so it's a 35,000 overage. But part of that, most of that is in where we added all that additional cleaning in that 3,000 foot. And there'll be some fluxing, of quantities as we move along. The only item that I'm concerned about is the fence, because, the contractor's kind of being rather belligerent about that. But the way the contract states is any item that changes more than 25%, either the contractor or the owner can ask for an adjustment of price. And frankly, I'm not going to agree to more than like $10 a foot unless they have some real good reasons for that. Again, it's a little higher than normal because the trees and the fence are all interwoven and together, and it makes it difficult to remove all that stuff because it's all just wound up in a big ball in the end. And then, so they'll throw it in the pile, they'll burn it, and then they have to sort the steel out, and it is kind of a mess. So he may have some rationale for that, but we'll come back to you on that at the end. Okay? Let's see. The other item that is over quite a bit is item 20, which is prepared at 20, and that's going up a little bit more. So you got to remember from when we started this and we did it, we had a good year or so of flow in there, so now it's kind of our best estimate to do that. So. Alrighty. So we are going to be over, but I think it's all work that needs to be done, and there's nothing in there that, and we're trying to cut out some of the other stuff to take some of the other prices down too. So, like I said, the contractor should be done by the end of this month. We'll be in contact with Darren and the board, and if you guys want to come and do a final review, we're going to do a full blown walkthrough.
Right.
All the project owners, you with them as well. Most of it is just general cleanup work, debris and this stuff out there. We had to have some landowners that kind of are always trying to move the scope of work up so they can get some stuff done for free.
Yeah.
Question. Copies of the PowerPoint, will you make sure Darren gets something like that so that we'll have a historical record of the clean out and what's been done? Yeah. Good. Very, very. We'd appreciate that because I think, landowners need to see the types of things we're doing, and as we do additional cleanouts in subsequent years, having that type of information, I think will be very helpful.
That does bring up a good point, and something that I'm glad you reminded me here is if we kind of wanted to send out a final report to the property owners at the end of this, and kind of something very similar to this, say this is the before and after. Here's the cost, and this is why the costs are different, what bid, and whatnot. Kind of just a brief summary of what was done. Do you think that'd be viable to do? I think that'd just eliminate a lot of the phone calls and questions. And we've got a lot of absentee landowners as well. Scott can probably tell you the amount, but I think then they can say, all this work was done. Do you think that'd be a good idea? It wouldn't take as long to do that,
Well, any way we can communicate, whether it's a call in another meeting where people can come in and open forum and see it, or, that way, I think having not gone down this path before, I think the whole key is the best way that we can communicate and reach the majority of the people, and they know that they've had an opportunity to give some feedback if there are concerns. Right. Okay.
Yeah, and I'd even reduce that to maybe a one-page front and back, and then have this available on the website where we can steer. Let's keep all of the costs down as much as we can in this, and just steer people toward the website, and hopefully have a final report up on the website. Yeah.
And especially the absentee ones, I think, a lot of them do that. But yeah, we can do whatever you'd like.
Yeah.
It's just the way districts have always been done in the past, they haven't really done a lot of public participation. You have your meetings, but as far as meeting with the landowners, we almost never met with the landowners.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I just think keeping them
Well, this is going to help us on the next one.
Oh, you bet.
Because these guys all talk.
Yep. You guys will all be references for the next
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I like the idea of including something in that notice. I just want to keep it as simple as we possibly can, just a real basic thing. And then if you want more information, we tell them where to go to get more information.
Okay, I'll email this to Scott.
Good. Good. Been pretty satisfied with the contractor?
Yeah. I mean, here's the situation. The foreman on the site is doing an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
The front office is a total pain in the butt. All right? The pay, they sent us a pay request, like, the first week of December, and we commented on it and said, time to send it back to us when you're processing. We called them, and said, you know, why aren't you sending them a pay request? They finally did send it on their And... they're kind of difficult to deal with. But the foreman is on site, he's doing the work, outstanding, you can't say that good things about him, he really takes care of everything.
We've never worked with these guys before, have we?
We've dealt with them a couple of times, and actually, you know, this has been a really good experience with them. The guy that was the foreman actually had been in the office doing all the managing in the office. And the guy in the office had been the foreman. But he had not been a very good foreman, so they switched places. Well, it didn't help things putting him in the office because he still is not kind of what he does. But
Well, it doesn't sound like we're dealing with anything too far out of the ordinary, and getting, you know, the issues that in overruns that we're having sound to me like really reasonable things that we couldn't have foreseen that we need to do. Now I want to talk about, while we've still got 11 minutes, let's talk about how we're paying for this, how we're making it so that our treasurer can take care of all this, and exactly what's going to happen. I know we made some decisions when we decided to go ahead with this, but now it's time to go ahead and get the paperwork executed and everything else. So I'm not sure how to start that conversation.
Okay.
I saw, as I was driving back after lunch yesterday, I saw a big, big fire going over there.
Hmm. And this was as a result of the clean out area? The burn. Okay. Okay. All right. Good. All righty.
All right. So, okay. How are we paying for all of this? I mean, walk me through, and I think, Scott Wall, I'm asking you first, walk me through how all this is happening.
Where to begin on that? Other than at the meeting, the public hearing, where we agreed to go forward to hire the contractor, and done, you had said you'd been in conversation with Renee at that time, and she'd agreed to fund the project, I think it was up to $400,000, through interest-free through September 30th of 2012. And at that point, everybody who's going to pay is paid. Anybody who wants to spread their payments will make those payments with 3% interest. It would go back to the treasurer.
And they can spread them for how long?
10 years. Okay.
Okay. So we know that in September.
Yeah. Okay. You mail right after request in writing to spread the payments sometime before September 30th.
Okay, what kind of contract do we as drainage district trustees need to execute with the county, which I guess is us as supervisors?
I don't know what the
probably the resolution. We just probably have to put the dollar amounts in.
What happens if we're over $400,000?
Probably a question for the treasurer. I think Scott Renault's anticipation and our hope is that a lot of people will pay up front. And so the total project cost is $400,000 plus this $35,000 or $30,000 additional, plus Fox Engineering's fees, which I think was about $65,000, Scott?
$65,000. Yeah, and I think we're going to be below that in the end here.
And I think we levied such at $40,000. Those were covered with the levy last year, so it'd be an additional $20,000 roughly.
Okay.
hopefully the treasurer will end up having to loan the district $250,000, $300,000, something like that. But there's no way to know.
Ultimately loaning the district, but to get us from here to September.
That's through September. That'll be in September. So we do need the full amount.
Between now and September.
In September.
That's probably a question for Renee as to if it's $435,000 versus the $400,000 we'd anticipated.
So the process, I don't know, Renee, whether you can answer that at this point in time, but the process would be is like we did when we were going out for our construction bonding. If there's no major cost as far as the resolution part, you know, we can basically do what we think is reasonable and then come back with an additional amendment perhaps, or are we better off going ahead and designating the full $435,000, knowing full well it may be under that amount, but dollars that are not spent, you know, are will just roll back in. So we won't draw any dollars without a claim and a payment. So come on up just a little bit. Jessica, we are recording this, please, both of you, just so we can.
There's a microphone by the laptop as well.
Yeah.
Well, the total amount could be as much as $450,000.
Yeah, it could be.
$20,000 to Fox.
Right.
The code is that you have to have a public notice saying how much you're going to loan.
Okay.
The only question I would have is, can we say up to so much money? So this 430 plus 25 approximately that Fox still needs brings us up to 450, 60, 65, something like that. So can we put in the resolution that you will loan up to $465,000 to the district?
As opposed to a specific amount.
As opposed to a specific amount. And that's probably going to be a question I'm going to, because Owen blessed what I prepared.
Well, I think you always can set whatever your debt limit is.
If we add something like up to.
Yeah.
And then we would only advance the amount of money needed. Obviously, we wouldn't advance the whole amount.
No.
The other part of this is how much of this is county responsibility? How much of this drainage district does the county have?
The engineer would have a benefit to roads. So.
Typically, then,
I have that figure with me.
The drainage district for,
but they don't get billed until July 1st either. I mean, they get billed at the same time as everybody else. Although they're a little easier to deal with as far as if they have to sit on that money and.
Yeah, and what I'm asking is, can the county go ahead and pay its portion prior to us doing the billing? I mean, if the county knows that it's going to owe X number of dollars, it just reduces the amount that we're asking for to loan.
The only thing that's out of our budget, that's fiscal 13 budget.
Good.
You could pay in July. You would
pay in July, probably.
Yeah, I don't think.
So they'd still have the bill before they had the money available.
Well, according to...
I
couldn't find anything in the code because Polk County called me a month ago and they did some work and they want to levy in March. And I couldn't find anything that said that they couldn't do that. The only thing is you can't charge a late
charge
until September 31st.
Oh, okay.
So you could levy with payments due. They're doing it, they want to do it with the second half of taxes, although I haven't heard from them since. So we could do something like that.
That would help.
We could levy it in March. We could levy with payments due in March. They still wouldn't be late until September 31st. They'd be due March 30th. You couldn't charge interest until after September 30th. And we want to make that clear to the people that if you can't pay by March 31st, we're not going to start charging you interest.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that helps us a lot because there's going to be some of these people who are just going to pay it as soon as they
get
it.
They're going to pay it right now.
Ones that owe $500, $600, $700, $1,500, they'll want to get it out of there.
I think there'll be several of them going to pay the full amount, regardless.
I've talked to.
Yeah, just going to pay it. But if we go ahead and get it as part of March, then even, you know, make it clear that they've got till September. But a lot of them are just going to go ahead and take care of it right now, so it reduces the amount that we've got to carry.
That would give the ones that can't pay it, they'd still have a lot more advance notice as to what their bill is going to be.
Absolutely.
That way, so it would probably help them to plan.
And they're still going to have their tax refund money, so chances are 85% are going to be paying that in March.
Well, I would suggest if code allows us to do it that way, understanding that there, you know, it's not really due till the end of September, can't charge a late fee or interest till the end of September, that we go ahead and get this out with the March.
And word the resolution up, if we can't, up to?
Yeah.
$465
Yeah, I don't see any reason why we couldn't add that language to the resolution, because we're actually setting the limit that we're using.
And
yeah. All right. So, do you guys have enough now to get? Because the next step is something's got to come to the Board of Supervisors, right?
Yep. Right.
Yeah, and my intent on that was to just go ahead and put it on your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Also send it to the public notice, because it's a 4 to 20, I think, on that one. You have to give 4 days notice at least, so that's when their normal agenda goes out typically anyway. So.
Sure.
And then, Scott, the other aspect of this that I think these guys were asking, and Renee said we'll probably need assistance on, have you ever done a payment plan?
We've had maybe 3 people request to spread their payments, and so I just figured out what that expense would be. I sent them a letter saying,
okay,
Here's your payments, and
okay,
I sent a copy to the treasurer.
Okay.
And I don't know how the treasurer handled it from that point on. They had a copy of the letter.
And is the question is, and
I don't know if the treasurer at that time sent them a notice every year. I have no idea. That would have been, might even have been Doris Sampson for some of it.
Yeah,
people
don't
request payment plans real often.
Right.
So we haven't done it in the last 35 years. When was the last time we did this?
No, because when Jameson took over is when Jane actually started doing more of it.
It was probably, she would have been there for all 3 of them that I can remember doing. 3 individuals.
I'm thinking, Jameson, you had always taken care of it.
I took care of figuring out what the dollar amounts were that the person would owe, and mailed them a letter and gave a copy to Jane.
Figure it out as we go. We'll see how many take advantage of it.
Never, at least the auditor's office hasn't sent out annual notices, you know, you owe this much this year or anything like that. We've never done that.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty positive our software takes care of it.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like we've got to get the resolution done. We'd like to go ahead and get notification out in March, and then how we deal with the people who come forward. Because the ones who are going to request spread it out, they're going to come forward late. They're going to come forward in September. And so we've got a little bit of time to figure out exactly the logistics of how that's going to happen.
Right. So
we'll count on Scott to go ahead and handle those via letter to start with, and then you're just going to have to track it.
Yeah.
After September 30th.
Right. And we can't charge anything until September 30th, right, as I understand.
Okay. Okay.
Anything else?
And then do we need to type? I need to reread what you sent.
Here it is.
Anymore. Thanks, Hank.
All you said was, looks good. Thanks.
I'd go.
That's what I got. Just, so you tell me.
Okay. I need to reread it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. And then, yeah.
Why don't you read it, Wayne?
Okay, it says resolution number blank, authorization for non-current debt, whereas the Story County Board of Supervisors is authority from Code Section 331.478 of the Code of Iowa to authorize non-current debt, and whereas the trustees of Drainage District Milford 32 have authorized improvement to the district that will be levied in July of 2012, and whereas the Board of Supervisors hereby authorize the County General Fund as the source of the loan to Milford Number 32 Drainage District for a term not to exceed 10 years, at an interest rate of, and that's where the 3% would come in. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors, Story County, that on, and it says, the treasurer shall advance blank to said drainage district. So there again, where we put in that total, and then we have a approval of a motion in the second, like we normally do, and move forward.
Some sections on the second page of it.
So yeah.
I think I read that part, actually.
Right.
So can, I guess my only question, just hearing what you read, can we change to be levied in July to March? Is that, would that be an accurate statement?
Well, yeah, it would sound like that when, yeah. You can send the letter. We can still levy it, but the first payment isn't due until July. And
you can't in September. You cannot charge late.
You can't charge late.
The payments are due March 31st,
but
they actually have until September 30th.
Right.
With no penalty.
So yeah, you can levy early, and I think these guys are right. There, some people will pay.
Right.
There has to be a letter included.
It has to be a letter.
But there has to be a letter to accompany.
We have to make sure it's clear. That drainage district levy is not truly due till the end of September.
Everybody's attended those public hearings was told many, many, many times.
Absolutely.
Right.
It'll be July 1st of your bills, September 30th is when it's due.
Right. So I think there's value in getting that entire drainage district advance notice of what's going to be due in September. And if some of them choose to go ahead and pay early, that's super. That helps everybody.
They all wanted to know, how soon am I going to know what this is costing me? They all ask that. So sooner is going to be better for
them. All right, so can we get this resolution on for the 24th Board of Supervisors meeting? Does that give you enough time for notification and everything else?
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So we'll need to probably contact Scott Renault and ask if he can give us some firm figures, too.
Well, if we are able to go
up to,
sounds
so
to me like we can, we've got a little wiggle.
I can just ask him if he's confident it won't go over a certain amount, then we'll use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my biggest concern is I didn't want to plug in an amount there and then not have enough.
5,000 more. Or 10,
but if I can do up to, then we'll just advance what is necessary.
Run that by Owen also.
Yeah, that's what I want to make sure he's on board with that because I don't think the code, I don't know. I didn't see the code talked about that.
Like when the school bonds, that's what they do. They say not to exceed.
Not to exceed. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
One more question. If we send these out in March, is there anything stipulating that we need to send them a reminder notice of those that have not been paid by, say, July, in end of July? Just courtesy?
I think in courtesy, I think, you know, I guess the bottom line, I think we ought to find a way to communicate that, whether we, that's the cheapest way to do it, we've got the list of the name of the people, I don't know how many there is.
That'd be something for us to do.
But I think we need to do that.
Yeah. Well, we're already sending something in March, now we're just including this in it. We were going to have to send something in July anyway, so now it becomes a reminder notice.
Right.
And I think the final completion was by June 1st because of the seating. And usually when there's a final completion and then there's a meeting for the trustees to accept the final completion, we usually notify people of that.
Perfect.
So we could put a reminder in with that letter.
Right.
Super. Around June 1st, 10th, somewhere in that range. We have to send them a letter anyway.
Sounds good to me.
Good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Darren, anything else good for the cause? Okay.
I move adjournment of the Drainage District meeting.
Second.
And moved and second. Over to the drainage district meeting, and it is 9:06. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you.